This is 地球好辣 Super Hot.
Hello everyone, this is your host Yu Ping.
And I'm James.
You are listening to Green Development and Taiwan. So, why are we here? Talking about nonsense in English. Definitely not.
It's a very good question. I think it comes from a kind of a point of office talk, but you know, I've been studying sustainability, especially Taiwan sustainability and energy challenges for almost 2.5-3 years now.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, enough.
Not enough, but I also wouldn't really call myself an expert yet, because a lot of the, you know, research or the assignments that I've done have been, you know, a small little thing about food security, and something might be about heat island effect, but definitely not.
He did wrote quite a few articles.
Yeah. So a few small articles here and there, but not enough to call myself an expert in one field in Taiwan sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
And also living in Taiwan for three of almost 4 years, I still feel like an outsider. Like, I've got an inside perspective on some of the culture, learning the language helps with some of the logic, but I'm still an outsider.
Do you enjoy being an outsider?
I do.
Sometimes?
I do, because as an outsider, it's just another name for someone who's learning.
Mm.
You know, I enjoy learning, I enjoy the process, and it's always exciting.
Mm.
So being an outsider is something that I'm quite comfortable being.
Mm-hmm.
So being this kind of semi-insider and semi-outsider for Taiwan's culture and sustainability challenges, I think I've got a lot of good questions and a lot of intrigue, but perhaps not all of the knowledge to answer these questions.
Uh-huh.
So my idea was to open it up and kind of challenge you, and if there are any other guests that come along, talking about, as like a free space to talk about anything that interesting that comes up around sustainability, around Taiwan, around development, because sustainability and development kind of are two different things in my mind.
Yeah, and about environment in general. From my part, it's because, yes, chatting with you was interesting. It always brings new thoughts. Precisely because you are an outsider, semi-outsider. And also, we are working together on this complicated issue in energy transition. And I think no one in this new field, new challenge of humanity, can call themselves an absolute, you know, expert. So this requires everyone's passion and consistent effort in really putting this issue alive. I mean, making it alive and then creating, putting innovation and whatever we can to make things happen, because this is not going to be just happening. Like, just
I agree 100%. You know, taking something like the energy transition, which fits within the net zero transition. Energy transitions, it takes engineers and policymakers and spatial planners and social scientists. It touches every facet of society. It's not just putting a panel on a roof or in the ground and connecting it to the grid.
People
thought it does, and on paper it looks like that, but we're finding in practice very different. And then I guess the second part of your question was, why in English? Instead of in Chinese, because that seems, when I found your website, it was all in Chinese. I guess having been pretty actively in this space now for 3 months, you know, my time living in Taiwan was a different life. Here it's been very much involved in energy transition and sustainability. And I'm finding that there are a lot of international expats living here, working in the field, who have a bit deep interest in Taiwan sustainability. There's also a lot of visiting scholars and guests that you must communicate with in English. And so having this space that is available to discuss in English, what's happening in Taiwan, what's happening outside of Taiwan. It's not just going to take people within Taiwan to address these challenges. You're going to need to be able to engage with people from outside of Taiwan.
Yeah.
And that could be from Japan. It could be from Israel. It could be from Germany. They all don't speak Australia. English as a first language. Yeah. It's a second language, and it's kind of unites in a way.
Yeah.
So we'll talk just briefly talking about energy transition. I guess we could talk about one of the big questions, probably too big for a short introductory episode, but just to set the tone and kind of something we could come back to at a later stage, was around net zero and the net zero transition in Taiwan.
Yeah.
And how serious it is. Serious is as in...
In terms of political decision and cultural consensus.
Social engagement. Yeah,
technical people who are working in possibilities.
Yeah, like, everything. Do you think it's... Serious how feasible enough. Is this going to be?
it's really like the big and fundamental question that we working in anything like in energy, renewable energy transition should be relating to. But it's hard. If you are only talking about renewable energy, you get to have this kind of mention a lot, but it's like, yeah, because we are going, we are heading for net zero transition, so definitely we will need renewable energy. Mm. That's just a, you know, primbo or something, like a decoration.
Yeah.
to make it right. But then people don't really talk about net zero transition, how things are really, you know, forming together.
Yeah.
Is it even plausible in a way? Do we have a common framework to... that people are all agree with? And yeah.
Well, we talk about a framework and we could look to the Taiwan government's framework for net zero, the net zero pathway that they've released.
In 2022, yep. March 30.
Yep. And talk about, this is, seems to be a common pathway, as in this is the agenda that's been set by the central government.
Mm-hmm.
You ask, is it something that people can get behind? Do we have a framework that we can get behind? Is this net zero pathway, from what you've briefly looked at,
mm-hmm.
do you think it's comprehensive enough? Do you think it focuses on one area too much or not an area not enough?
Good question. For me, because we work in energy sector, so definitely we will be... we will be attracted by those part, but then in an overall kind of understanding of this pathway itself, I would argue that I think the main thing that's missing is the appealness to the public. I mean, you definitely want everyone to be in agreement with this very important, serious thing and for lasting for like 30 years time. So you need to have a entry point, that the storyline to begin with, that people are in, you know, at least nodding their heads while thinking about things. But this is totally in lack of this kind of context.
Yeah.
People can draw their attention and start to talk to each other, that kind of thing. It's missing this kind of element that people need, that personal touch, or society as a whole that needs to have. So that for me, that's like, this is a very pale, almost like an agenda, propaganda.
Yeah.
In a good, I mean, it's not a bad propaganda.
It seems like it's negative, but sometimes propaganda, it's an agenda. It sets
agenda,
sets the narrative, it sets the tone.
It's just too pale and not really engaging to the public. That's I think, most important thing, because this is a big thing. People need to, you need to attract their attention, and you need to give them some, I think take home message that they can start to develop and make things happen.
Do
and
you that's think,
not there.
Do you think it suffers from being a first attempt? So it just coming out last year, you know, back off the back of the 2021 announcement that Taiwan will become a net zero economy. And then last year they released this pathway. And then this year they enshrined this this goal uh-huh. in legislation.
Uh-huh.
But this pathway that was released is essentially
uh-huh.
maybe not a draft, but a first attempt. And I guess releasing it will hopefully spark some conversation from academics, NGOs, and other people who are interested to maybe revise it down the line.
I know there's some reason behind that the whole pathway doesn't really feel alive at all. And too many things are dragging it. So it's okay for the first try.
Yep.
And also, I think the main thing is because our government, Taiwanese government, in democratic kind of history is still pretty short. So yeah. The government is not very well experienced in addressing people in this kind of, you know, big policy issue and make it understandable and coherent and transparent to
yeah.
people. Yeah. So
I'm gonna hit you with some big numbers. And then I'm gonna ask you a hard question at the end.
Okay.
So we talked about that we are in the renewable energy space and the renewable energy being such a significant part of the energy transition.
Yeah.
And so we look at the carbon dioxide emissions from Taiwan's carbon accounting from the past couple of years. And we see that the energy industry is responsible for 63% of net greenhouse gas emissions. So a significant amount.
Yeah.
And obviously there's a big responsibility for the for the energy industry to reform itself.
Mm.
It also means that there's 27% that needs to be looked at elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we also look at the natural carbon reserves, the carbon sinks of Taiwan.
Yeah.
You know, it's around 1/10 of the size of Taiwan's total emissions.
Mm-hmm.
And that carbon sink number hasn't changed in the past 15 years. So we're going to have to find a way to not just reduce emissions.
Uh-huh.
And it's quite hard to create a larger carbon sink because of the physical land space.
Yeah.
It's quite a big challenge for renewable energy to take this 67%, 63%.
Mm.
My hard question is, with Taiwan only making up 0.75% of all emissions released every year.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it's important for Taiwan to tackle this hard challenge? Because if Taiwan was not to reform, was just to keep burning coal and gas for its energy and only contributing 0.75% of emissions to the world,
mm-hmm.
is there any upside in taking on the challenge?
Ah. This is not very difficult to answer.
Not very difficult.
But that's a main thing that's breaking Taiwan from its heart. Mm. Because the demand of, you know, entering this net zero 2050 and things like that, renewable energy transition, is not fueled by common opinion. It's fueled by industrial needs.
Mm.
And they need this to sustain their current leading role in the global
supply chain.
Yeah, supply chain. And they are working very hard. I mean, they are competing with many other. Within Asia, this is a serious competition.
And yeah.
As well as globally. So I think that's a main thing. And that's, yes, of course, that industry alone keeps a lot of families and, you know, top persons there. But for the majority of Taiwanese society, household, this is nothing about them.
Mm.
And that's what I said, it's breaking Taiwan into half, like from the middle of it. It's not the the people's idea, it's the industry's
idea.
Idea.
So you're saying it's
very crucial for them.
It's not coming from a place of altruism, it's coming from a way of how do we
self-interest,
how do we make Taiwan more globally competitive, yes, their industries.
Yes, and because Taiwan's special political situation, global competition would translate very directly to safeness, political stability, and things like that.
It's amazing that you can go from a solar panel, something so rigid and static, to how quickly so many different layers and different parts of society and politics and industry rapidly get involved.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's something that we could keep talking about
for
a very long time. But I think this would be a good point to leave it for this episode. Mm-hmm. I think this is a good time to end it here. A lot of the things we've spoken about, I'm sure, will pop up at other discussions that we have. And I'd like to look at other things in future episodes, such as frameworks, a legal framework around environment and sustainability.
Getting serious now. This is reflecting to what we've mentioned. Legal parts, social parts, like social network and people. How people are like, why people are not collaborating. Like, we are notorious for not being able to collaborate with each other. And yeah, so that's an interesting thing to talk about.
But it would also be good to be a little bit more personal and talk about things that are intersect with renewable energy.
Yeah.
Things like how culture and politics interact with it, both outside Taiwan and inside Taiwan, and our cultural backgrounds. We come from different places. What has influenced ourselves to get to where we are here?
Yeah. So stay tuned if you're interested to what we've been talking about. And hope to see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. 谢谢大家。